We've got a guest tonight that played as a fly half for Ulster. He had over 100 appearances. We're going to have a bit of crack. Folks, give a round of applause. Mr. Ian Humphreys.
Well done.
Let's go. What's crack, how you doing?
Very well, thanks. Yep, I'm enjoying being here. Well, I was meant to come last year and couldn't come, unfortunately, so glad.
I have bugged you for, call it 2 or 3 years. There's like literally a list of people, rugby, GEA, celebrities, Instagram, whoever, and I've literally a list of 3 or 4 pages, and I think you're top of the list. I appreciate you coming on. I know Mark and everybody here does as well. Who do you support in the NFL? This work is interesting.
Yeah, so I guess I'm a Patriots fan.
Right, Neil, that's us.
I know,
that's us saying.
But I guess as time's gone on, I think with the invention of the red zone, I think you're just going to find more and more guys, or males and females, are just fans of the sport, especially as it's grown, especially with the likes of Instagram and TikTok, where you've got your short, sharp videos. And my girls, 15 to 13, love the Kansas City Chiefs because of Taylor Swift. So you know how it's just, they're now involved, they're loving it, and it's just the game. Everybody over here will just watch whatever they can.
What was it for you with the Patriots? Was it Tom Brady and the coverage? Or
no, so in 2004-ish, I moved to Leicester Tigers to play rugby there. Captain at the time was Martin Johnson. And I remember thinking, right, I need to learn all I can about Leicester. And I found this interview he did. He was a massive NFL fan.
Yep.
And somebody asked him who he thought was going to win the Super Bowl that year. He said, the Patriots. So I was a bit of a glory hunter. I thought, here we go.
That'll do.
And from there on, it's just been that.
He is a proper anorak of a fan. So he could name every starter for the 49ers in Super Bowl 19 from the 1984 season.
That's insane.
He just will literally reel off everything he can about the NFL. He absolutely loves it. Loads of the players at Leicester ended up liking it, right? Because of
totally. Like, I think that those first few London games, there was carloads of boys would have gone down and stuff.
I remember sitting at a Texans-Jags game. Martin Johnson was beside us with a few English players as well. I was going to say, it was a good crack. I'm at the age where I remember that World Cup win. Very, very, like, small. Like, I'm not that old yet, but I'm getting there in that sense. We're here, we're bringing you on, and we want to talk a bit about the IPP. And unless you've been under some sort of rock over the last few weeks, you might have seen Lewis Rees-Zammit has joined the Chiefs on an international. Well, we'll talk about the contract in a minute, a 3-year deal. For some people in here, obviously, if you're a GAA fan, Rory Beggin, Mark Jackson, Charlie Smith, and Dara Leader, who's a rugby player, went to the Combine. Charlie signed with the Saints this day last week at 4:21 p.m. How sad is it? I know that. I was saying to you, and like, I know Neil, you're going to go in a second and talk about George, but to see these lads first off even be given this opportunity, is that something that you would have loved to have happened over your playing in that sense?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, to 2014, I did a PR piece with the Jags. It was obviously when the Jags first came over, they were open to anything media wise to build their profile. So Ulster Rugby, we had a guy in charge of our sort of brand building, I guess, Neil Britton, who's now big in the BBC. So he linked up with them, and I went over and kicked with Josh Scooby. So that sort of, that was, I then went and kicked with his kicking coach, Coach Zuner, in the February, went to Super Bowl, and that's sort of where the love of the game really grew. But I just wish now I had this opportunity these guys have to go and kick. Like, rugby players, like, look the size of me, I wasn't really built for the contact side of the game. Didn't enjoy the contact side of the game, and just to go and be a kicker would have been phenomenal. I'm sure we'll touch on it, but I think the reason I really got intrigued about it was speaking to Scooby, who was a Jaguar legend. Most of those NFL kickers were soccer players converted in university. So and kicking a rugby ball and kicking a football are totally different. To be a complete nerd about it, a footballer kicks with a C shape, like the way they bring the foot round, with a rugby player kicks with a J shape. And then in terms of follow through, so the conversion or the transfer from a rugby player to a goal kicker in the NFL, really, really, really simple, to be honest. Actually, in fact, it's easier the way the weight of the NFL ball is. Kicking an NFL ball is easier than a rugby ball. So that's why I think now you're going to see Harry Malander went, obviously, as well. There's going to be massive opportunities. There has been down the years. Nas Bota going back into the, I don't know, 60s, 70s was a South African who went and kicked. So I think there's going to be huge opportunities. And I'm a bit gutted at 42 years old and wee bit old.
There's still time. Neil, I know your son George knows all these lads very, very well, and especially Charlie as well.
Yeah, my son George was a quarterback at the NFL Academy, went to Ottawa to play college football, came back, worked as a coach of the academy. He's now done 2 years kind of going off and working for the 10 weeks at International Player Pathways. So He was responsible this year for wide receivers, so he worked firsthand with Lewis Rees-Sammet. And he's, I mean, George was throwing to Lewis every day. So George doubles up as the quarterback in camp. He threw to Lewis the first time they took him up to Loughborough to kind of work him out. So George was trying, well, he thought about landing the ball near the goal line. And then you know, Lewis was running under them. And then right at the end of the workout, George thought, I'm just going to throw one at the back of the end zone. Just to, and instead, just the explosion. And he tracked it down and was waiting for the football. He was almost, he was there. So, yeah, it was Lewis to see, I think George seeing Lewis firsthand was really inspiring. I think he's got a genuine shot, not just a, this is not a PR stunt. You know, you speak to Lewis, I spoke to him within days of him signing, within days of him committing to IPP, and he's a huge NFL fan like yourself. His dad played in the British League, sort of amateur, so he wanted to kind of do that for his dad. So this is not a gimmick, this is for real, and I think, you know, I think he's got a real chance, and I love Charlie. I was rooting for Charlie from 4,000 miles away. I was sitting in bed the night they had the combine, and Connor was filming everything, and I was watching. I was hanging off every kick. I was like, I was nervous, and like George is texting me as well after every kick, because Charlie's a huge NFL fan as well, as I discovered when I chatted to him. So he really wanted it; it meant a lot to him. It was great to see it. So all of the players at IPP, right at the end of camp, the very last day of camp. So James Cook heads up the program, and then George is working with him. So they took all the players out to lunch. So all the players, there's 15 of them there, because Charlie wasn't. He was at the Saints. And then James's phone just pings, and it's a WhatsApp, and he opens it, and it's a picture of Charlie with a Saints hat on. And then he called, and the whole table just erupts. But then Charlie called James, called George, and they were all just, yeah, just made up for him. It was fantastic.
It's insane, you know, when the draft comes around and guys start to fall, and it's, oh, he doesn't love football enough. Think right. About the IPP, it's like they're making massive sacrifices, whether it's Lewis giving up, and I've heard the story from a few people now, like it was fully him at the 11th hour. I think the announcement was on the Sunday or Monday, and he heard about it on the Friday and had to do it all himself. And I don't think the Welsh Rugby Union believed that that's how it really happened, but it genuinely was.
Yeah, it was last minute. It was 100% last minute.
It was, because we were sending the list and he wasn't on it. He wasn't on it.
It was literally days before. And I think there's two things. So Lewis is going to change everything, because he was on a path to make some wonderful money and have a wonderful career for the next, 12 years?
Yeah.
Without ever needing to deviate from it.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the one big thing for Lewis is that he's already done everything in rugby. So he's a 22-year-old kid who's played World Cup, International, British and Irish Lions. So he realizes, like, he can go and have a crack at this for 3 or 4 years. He's still only going to be 26, 27. Still a freak athlete who's going to be picked up by a rugby team again.
Back for the next World Cup if you needed to be.
Exactly. So, I mean, he's one of these guys that it's just perfect timing, perfect storm, and he is a freak in the nicest way. Like, you see the stats coming out. His fastest time in a rugby pitch is faster than Tyreek Hill on an NFL pitch. Obviously, no equipment and stuff.
Right.
But my brother was the coach at Gloucester when Lewis came through, and he just said it's different. Like, you see fast rugby players, but this guy's just different. And the size of him as well, I don't think you can really comprehend how big he is. So the interesting thing will be what position he plays.
Do you think it would make other players that are comfortable in rugby think, well, there's a guy who's right at the top of the game?
Definitely.
Do you make others try it?
And then I think we talked about this out there, the announcement today of Jordan Mailata's deal.
No.
Now, 48 million guaranteed. Now, the top rugby lads are probably earning 400 or 500 grand a year, which is good. So you're finding that balance of, do you give up the couple of hundred grand a year to then go and chase the millions? And that's a difficult question.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's a lot of money those boys are earning. But then the upside's so good. So I think we saw how well Wade did.
Right.
But obviously didn't make it. So it's that fine balance. If one guy can go and make it, like a Lewis Rees-Sammet makes it, it opens everything.
The other thing, just to finish on the IPP, from my point, there were 16 guys in camp. Only two had American football experience. So Florian, who was a tight end from Austria, played in the ELF. And then Praise Olatiki, the Scottish and Nigerian wide receiver, had played a little bit for Ohio State of like a junior team. They're kind of like a JV type thing. He played a bit of that. Everyone else was Jotham Russell's, a rugby league player from Australia. Everyone else, Harry, like you said, all the Irish guys. Everyone else is just an Byron Matos from Dominican Republic, was a basketball player, played D1 in America. So everyone's taking that gamble of because they want to find an elite athlete, and then they'll try and mold them into a football player.
Do you know how you're saying there about taking that risk? It doesn't always pay off, and like Rory Beggan, we don't know if he's going to line out for Monaghan this weekend. If it was one of your rugby teammates, do you accept him with open arms? Because, I mean, you can understand it from the financial point of view, but it also says, oh, you have your eye on another sport.
No, I think you definitely do. You most guys want to see other guys succeed. Like, you're all pretty much mates as well, you know, and I think when you see somebody else going and trying something different, it opens doors for other people and opportunities and just sort of everybody loves it. Because I know Alex Gray, when he broke through,
right. We
were London Irish together.
Yeah.
Everybody loves it. Everybody was obsessed because sports people are obsessed with their sports. So you want to hear the inside stories. You want to hear what it's like. Are these guys as big as you think, as fast as you think? So everybody just loves to compare and go, look, our sport's better. We've better athletes. So if you see like a Louis Riesamut going and dominating, you're going, our sport's easy, obviously.
Yeah. So if it's too late for you to be an NFL kicker, it's not too late for Gladiators.
Oh, yes. Fair play to him, isn't it?
He's done it already.
Do you look anyway in that Ulster team right now, or anybody in Leinster, Munster, Connacht, and go? Because I think for me, going on the GAA side of it, I look at maybe a Niall Morgan, maybe a Clifford, maybe another high-profile player. And I think if that happens, even on the rugby side of it here, I think it is a whole different.
But isn't it great that we've moved on from Ron Nogara, was born in San Diego, and for years he was going to go and play?
Is there, like, well, you don't have to say anything, but is there anyone you're looking going, this can be interesting for you?
In Ireland, probably not. Not necessarily. There's maybe one or two younger guys down south. The one guy, so Mark Dalgarian, is that how you pronounce his surname?
Yep.
Mark from
yep.
the IPP,
yeah.
He runs it. So
yep.
I got in touch with him quite a bit.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a guy in France. If anybody follows rugby, you'll have seen some of the clips. His name's Pasola Tuilagi. So his dad was Henry that I played with in Leicester. So I've been badgering Henry. Pasola's 19. He's 150 kilos and 6'6". And he can shift. And so if you think this is somebody who has to be fit enough to play 80 minutes, the size that guy could get to if you're only needing 4 or 5 second bursts a couple of times. So I'm trying to get Henry. So they're from Samoa, so they know Tua Tagovailoa. So they've got that link with the Dolphins a wee bit right. as well through the family. But I'm just going, geez, let me do that deal into the NFL, please.
keep this there. There you go.
That's what's fascinating about that whole program. It's not like they're going around the fields of Europe watching American football players. They're just finding them amazing athletes. And however, I mean, it's called a pathway for a reason. They literally can be a meandering pathway, but it can take you all the way to the NFL. Well,
it's funny when you mentioned Samoa, we were coming back from the Germany game, Miami and Kansas City, and who do we bump into? One of your key. Was he over there too at Tagovailoa? He was over with the family as well getting poached.
Yeah, but all rugby, most of the rugby guys really love the NFL, and that's why we always talk about it. You actually go on the NFL, like Instagram, and you'll see hundreds and hundreds of rugby players follow it.
Right.
In England, you see like the Anthony Watson, all these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
They just love it. And obviously, Bundy has been a big fan. It's just a massive collision sport. And most rugby guys, you play rugby because you like the violence, you like the physicality, and the NFL's got that in a nutshell.
Yeah. We're going to take questions in a few minutes, so if you go for it. We don't know if Rory Baggin's playing on Sunday.
I'd have some advice for him.
Well, we'll do that in 2 seconds. But while we have you on stage, Ian, you're a Patriots fan, but generally over the last 15 years, 20 years, this is the big question here. What's been your favourite NFL moment, just even watching it generally? You're watching Redland.
So the two that stick out are the Super Bowl I was at, which was Super Bowl 49, Malcolm Butler's interception.
Fantastic.
Which was phenomenal.
Like
yeah, I was
wow.
at that, yeah.
That's
the funny game I've ever been at live as well as a
oh
joke.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that was pretty good. And then obviously another Patriots one was, so 2 years later, my little girl was sick, was in hospital all night, and it was the night of the Super Bowl 51, the 28-3 against the Falcons. So that was another, obviously, easy one to remember and sticks out in the mind.
That
so.
Was a great night, like, that was just... Brilliant. Though.
Super Bowl 49, we did like split hosting positions. So Kev was up in the studio and I was hosting from the sideline. And I was literally on the goal line there at that moment. And you instantly knew you were watching something that would be talked about for years. Yeah. It was history. You know when you see something in sport and you just know that's it. And the funny thing was, really, if we're all honest, no one really knew who Malcolm Butler was at that stage, right?
Yeah.
So they're coming, that happens, And then they take a break in the game and they're like, Neil, we're coming to you in 10, 9, 8. And I'm scouring the roster. It's like, who the fuck is Malcolm Butler? Who the hell is... So then all I can say is, the Super Bowl's just been won by an undrafted free agent. Yeah, just because it said it on the roster. That was it. But it was just a... Whenever I talk about the moment that I've covered the sport, that's the one. Just because I love history and I love like thinking of the bigger picture. And that was it. It was incredible.
But that whole week was the build-up. That was the one, the Marshawn Lynch was at the press conference going,
I wouldn't talk.
I'm just here so don't get fined. If we were at, I don't know if you can still do it, but randomers could walk into the press conferences and watch some
stuff. We walked in.
Yes. Yeah, so, like the whole week was just a different week. There was a different about it. Katy Perry halftime show was a big one. And then obviously there were so many good plays. There was that catch up the touchline. Earlier in the game, that thought they'd seal it for the Seahawks. Can't remember.
Oh, it went off his foot, an overhead kick almost. Yeah, so Jermaine Curse.
So there were so many moments in that game, and I just remember it was such a continual game. They had to take a TV timeout, which the guy with me told me doesn't happen that often. There's usually enough natural stoppages and stuff. So just a brilliant game. Yeah, it's not a bad experience.
Arizona, wasn't it?
Yeah. It rained in the desert. Like what the?
Vegas this year as well.
Everywhere you go, I'll tell you what, like literally. Anybody, like a lot of people walk into that opening night randomly. Like some of the people walk in there, that's a whole different guy. Do you want to get questions? Yeah, you up for doing it?
Like I'm bringing her in. Yeah.
Fancy assistant? No. I'm...
Anyone have a question? Put up your hand.
If you haven't got a question, it's grand. Like, but just. Ian, did we tell you we're doing Q&A? Yeah, you happy enough?
Do you remember it? I don't know if you remember the one in Belfast while he's getting up there with a microphone. That's my worst moment. This bit where you ask questions. So if I don't have my glasses on, it's a bit of a scary moment. So there was a young child in the front row in Belfast put their hand up to ask a question, and I went, yep, the young lady in the front. And then it was a boy, just had long curly hair. He was like, actually I'm a boy and my name's Dave. And I was like, oh, I didn't know.
Have a good night, folks.
And I just started picking jerseys. That was the safest way.
Where I've lost Mark already. Where's
the lost top.
Sorry, just up in the back row. Am I on?
Yep.
Neil, you do normally like a three-man camp tour, different years, different seasons. So I suppose I have two quick questions. Number one, which teams have you found sort of most open and which ones have you enjoyed? And number two, have you ever had the pleasure of interviewing Bill Belichick at all?
So I have.
So how did it go?
So yeah, Belichick would be the opposite of open. So I went to the Patriots twice. One year I got a one-on-one with Brady. So I can't really complain because I got Brady, I got Belichick. I just got them on separate years. So I got Brady one day, the day before on that trip, and I think this was Patriots kind of sending me a message. I interviewed Rob Gronkowski in the men's toilets. Bear in mind, this is a multi-million pound facility. They haven't got a spare room. Honestly, I'm there. Gronk is where that football is, and where that camera is was a row of urinals. I was like, you're definitely sending me a message. So I interviewed Belichick a couple of years after that, and everyone was out the fields at the Patriots. Their training facility is the fields for training camp are outside the stadium, and then the stadium's right next door. So they basically hurried me in while all the journalists were outside interviewing Tom Brady and all the players off the field because Belichick does no one-on-ones. So it was literally like being hurried in undercover, almost under a blanket, to interview Belichick, and it was like getting blood out of a stone. He's a hard interview because most people, when you ask a question, they kind of know what you're getting at. So I was like, Tom Brady's great, isn't he? And thought he's going to... He's like, well, we'll wait and see when his career's over. I was like, yeah, but he'd already won 3 Super Bowls by then. He's like, yeah, but coach, he's pretty special. Yeah, he's not bad. He's not bad. And I was like, I'll give up. But so he was really good. Teams that haven't been, I might still want to go and see them, but I'll be careful. I had a really tricky experience with the New Orleans Saints once. So I don't know if you remember Jeremy Shockey, the tight end. So this was, Shockey basically was really hard to deal with for the Saints. So we're waiting outside their practice facilities here. We've set up outside. And basically you set up and then you just wait. Obviously they might have a shower, whatever. And the PR guy comes out and says, oh, Jeremy can't do it. He's got to go to a meeting. I was like, okay, that happens, fine. Then we look out. You could see the back of the building to the side. There was a chain link fence. Jeremy Shockey's climbing the fence to avoid doing the interview. Gets worse. Gets halfway up the fence and realises it's a bit too much fence. comes down and just does the walk of shame past us, but didn't say a word. Just put his head down and just kept walking. So I'd say Shockey was the worst. That'd be.
And we've got like time for two more.
Well, we're here.
We lose at the end.
Right.
Go for it.
Neil, I'm a Chicago Bears fan. I've been for 40 odd years. You probably guess where this question is going. We traded away Justin Fields for effectively two Mars bars and a Twix. And we're going to get, presumably, Caleb Williams. Is he Ryan Leaf or is he Peyton Manning?
Probably neither, but that's good. At least he won't be Ryan Leaf. I think he's going to be good for the Bears. I think the Bears had some weapons around Justin Fields. I don't think they're going to make the same mistake again. The DJ Moore, Keenan Allen can still play. I like Cole Kmet. I think DeAndre Swift was a really good signing as a running back. I'd like to think with the ninth pick, they would go another wide receiver and really load up. But I think that's sometimes we play fantasy football. They're more likely to go for a defensive tackle or some meat and potatoes guy. But I do think Caleb Williams is going to be good. And this is really dangerous because comparisons are awful for players. Right? I'm sure they're the worst. Right? I've seen him when they talk about him in the pocket and how he throws from the pocket, he's been compared to Drew Brees. And when he's out of the pocket, he's been compared to Patrick Mahomes. That's not bad, is it? That's probably dangerous for him, though.
Two Mars bars in the Twix. Can we use that? Yeah. All right, good one. That's the best thing.
Other sweets are available, you have to say. That's what you normally...
Split the G, two Mars bars and Twix. You're flying.
Hello, Neil. You mentioned about back in the day and you kind of happened upon NFL and now you're suddenly on TV. How does it feel that you've started from, you know, we go back to Channel 4 and you got some highlights and stuff, to now you're the front man of a dedicated Sky Sports channel and you've got a room full of people here hanging on your word, and it must feel incredible that you and along the lads, I don't know anybody from NFL Pro Football Ireland either, so this is not a plug or anything, but how does it feel that you've kind of been able to garner this attention and be able to be part of NFL in the UK and Ireland?
So, very bizarre. So I started out as a journalist on a local newspaper, so I wasn't even a journalist. I used to make tea for the journalists. I was like literally the runner. But I was a fan of the NFL. So I had no plan to get on TV. I was like, basically, I worked for First Down. Then I went and worked for NFL Europe for 6 years, running their website, writing. And then they kind of swapped things around, changed things because of NFL Europe became all German. So I got made redundant. So then I got a chance to do some TV. No idea if I'd be able to do it or not. And I was with some friends from Belfast last week. We were just up in Island McGee and I was staying with them. And he said, I'll bet you can't go anywhere because you're a big TV celebrity. I know hardly anyone on TV. I live in the same house I lived in when I worked for First Down. I spend 99% of my life like a normal person. Then I go on TV on Sundays. If you could guarantee me the same security that I have on Sky and I could just sit at home writing about the NFL, I would do that. However I can grow the sport, I'll grow it. I'm not that fussed about being on TV. That's the way I have to do it. So it is very surreal because it's not a world I'm used to. You become used to it, doing things like this, and I'm used to being in front of people. But I genuinely, this sounds so like, oh, I'm a fan like you, but I really am. I still get excited when I go to the Super Bowl and sit next to Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, I sit and get excited about who I work with. You know, I'll see George Kittle at the 49ers and then he'll be like, Neil, great to see you. And he'll give me a hug. And I'll walk away and I'm like, George Kittle just gave me a hug. I'm like, whereas I should really just be like, right, on to the next one. But I genuinely, those moments along the way, they really, really mean something to me because I think ultimately I'm still a fan. So, yeah, it is all a bit bizarre. But I kind of stumbled onto the TV and it's just my way to be around sports. And then I'll find another way when I'm not on TV.
Up here near the back, Michael.
Yeah, we'll take a break in 2 seconds.
Yeah,
Ian, you touched a little bit on kind of with Lewis and getting to be around those, you know, personalities that really want to test themselves. I guess it's to yourself and Neil. What do we think, and Neil, you touched there on, you know, we're all fans of this sport, but the transferability between rugby and NFL, what's a good return for somebody like Lewis, if we're saying if he's going to come back in 3 or 4 years or if that was to happen? But having been around these guys, can they light up the NFL? Or what, when you touch about positions and that, what really would these guys with the mentality of going into that locker room really want to do?
Well, for me, I think listening to all the podcasts and stuff, and you listen to about the draft, they always talk about multi-sport athletes. So my big thing for the likes of Lewis Rees-Sammet, he's used to playing in like a three-dimensional game in rugby where you see boys coming from all directions. Obviously, NFL has to a degree, but I think for him, especially, I think the Chiefs haven't missed a trick with this new kickoff rule.
Right.
So all of a sudden, in rugby, when the ball's kicked to you, you basically have probably a brick wall of 12 guys in front of you, and you have to try and find your way. And you're not allowed anybody to block for you in rugby the way you can in the NFL. So I have no doubt that I'm sure you're all probably well aware of it more than I am, but in the kickoff rule, only the catcher and the kicker can move until the catcher's caught it. So what I imagine the guys like Zammett are going to do, when you're counter-attacking in rugby, you're kind of drifting across the pitch, just looking for one shoulder out of place, and then he'll be gone. So I would imagine he'll be used heavily in the kick return that way. And then just, he's got a great skill set. He's used to high balls. He's used to catch and pass all around himself. So as a receiver, I think he's going to be pretty good there. And as I said earlier, being so big, he's going to be physical in terms. So like while Christian Wade was explosive in that obviously viral clip from the Bills preseason game, Zammett's about another foot taller and probably with another 15, 20 kilos heavier. So he's going to have the ability to do everything. So for him, I think he can definitely go and make a breakthrough. But again, it's that whole thing. Has he had enough exposure to learn it? And when you see some of the guys, if he doesn't have to learn all the schemes and is just told, run here or just use your sort of natural instincts, then I think he'll be successful.
So I would add that's a good reminder for the player pathway as well. Now, everyone's already saying, I kind of bite back a little bit on Twitter with this, where people say, oh, well, he might not make the 53-man roster and this might not work yet. And I'm like, it's ridiculously hard to get to where he's at right now. They don't just give these spots away. But if you look at these international players, if it doesn't work, and I mean, they'll try and get him on the 53 if he's good enough, 100%. But if he goes on to the practice squad, that's the whole point of player pathway, is to buy you time, because he's had 10 weeks of practice in American football. Yes, every day, but yeah, that is minuscule compared to what people have had growing up in America. So you can look at it as, yes, I want to see him on the field in September. You could also say he's only had 10 weeks and this is year one of three. And where's he going to be next year and the year after? So that's the whole point of the program, is to give these players time. But that's why they're looking for players that don't have football experience, because they're going to be given time to learn the game.
One thing for sure is the next couple of years will be very interesting. I think we're not going to have the last conversation with you. I think we'll be chatting to you for a while yet. Great insight on the kickoff and everyone as well. Folks, we're going to have a break, but can we give Ian a massive round of applause?